Nation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Casabella Home and Interiors.
And we want to talk about the flat fire this morning. Natalie Weber from the Oregon Department of Forestry joining us. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Doing all right. And I know things are very busy down at the flat fire. Talk about where you're located, where some of the folks are that are staffing this.
Yeah, so right now I'm at our incident command post, which we've been graciously hosted by the Gold Beach High School. But we have a couple camps for our firefighters and additional support staff, about 10 minutes outside of Gold Beach and then right outside of Agnes.
Now, talk about kind of the status of the fire and how things are looking this morning.
So things are actually looking very good this morning. We have the weather on our side, and it's been a good couple of days just because of that. We've seen cooler conditions, and we've seen higher relative humidity, and those in combination really just naturally decrease fire behavior. So that's actually allowed us to get in and get some really good work done. We're really just continuing to our prep work on the north side. Our main priorities right now are building a line around this fire. We want to get it under control as soon as possible, as well as protecting the communities that it's surrounding, like Agnes, Oak Flat. We have some scattered homes and businesses up there, as well as our coastal towns.
And one of the aspects of this is that it's burning in some fire scars, which tends to increase the momentum of the fire once it gets going.
It does, and it creates some challenges for us in that aspect. It's no surprise that this area has seen fire before because it's just so difficult to fight fire in. It's extremely steep. It's extremely remote. There's not a lot of road systems. The fuels in there really are primed to burn. And then when you add the weather that area naturally sees, which is just hot, windy conditions, it's really a perfect environment for fire to spread. On the flip side of that, because there have been some large-scale incidents here before, we also have some containment lines and just resources in areas that have been used in the past that we're integrating into our strategic plan for getting a line around this fire. And so we've been using those and looking back at old maps, just making sure that we're being as efficient as possible, using the things that are already in place and tying our work up to that.
Now, I know over the weekend, the go-ahead was given to bring heavy equipment into a particular area and go after things that way. That doesn't always happen. Talk about the impact that can have.
It doesn't happen a lot. And really, I'd have to refer you to the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest for more information on that. But, the approval was given to do what needed to be done in a very specific area. And so we're going to be following that direction by the forest.
Now, do you feel like this is going to be a long-term situation, or do you think the cooler weather is helping and maybe get things sped up in suppression efforts?
The cooler weather is definitely helping us right now. And like I said, we're taking advantage of that. Just because this area has seen large fires before, we know that there's that potential, right? And so we're planning for that. Our first goal and what we're striving for is to get a line around this fire and to stop it in its tracks right now. But we all know that there's the Chetco effect that comes into play. And so we're doing what we can to be strategic and have contingency lines and doing what we can right now to make sure that we're protecting our communities. Ultimately, that's the goal. We want to make sure that, we're keeping everyone safe while trying to get around this fire as quickly as possible.
Now, the update that I got overnight, 1,528 people at that point assigned to the fire. That's a lot of folks to keep track of. Talk about some of the logistics behind the scene that go into operating one of these situations.
It is a lot of people to keep track of, and we have fire folks all over Gold Beach and Agnes who have been fantastic hosts for us. We'd like to say thank you to these communities. We come in and we build up a little city to support ourselves. And that's really what the incident management team is here for. We are here to support the firefighters who are working on the ground, and that runs all the way from setting up a camp and places for them to sleep, bringing in a caterer for meals, making sure that they have water and Gatorade. If they need extra equipment, we have an area for that. And really trying to, you know, work with these communities to find the best places where we can store all these people and not disrupt their daily lives too much.
I know one of the past fire situations I was in, one of the big fires a number of years ago, got to tour around the camp area more than normal. And even aspects like accounting folks and people keeping track of the financial aspects of things and contractors getting paid and all of that. I mean, just amazing, a lot of things going on when you pull this many people in for a period of time.
There are a lot of things to keep track of for sure. And like you said, finance is one of that. You know, we want to make sure that we're accounting for everyone who's here, that we have their rates and what they're being paid and that they're being taken care of financially and compensated as well. And there are so many other functions. We have, obviously our logistics and our planning functions. We have liaisons who reach out with the community and are bringing the people in who need to know who could be, more affected by this than others. We have our public information office, which is where I'm from, here working with Pacific Northwest Team 3. And so there's just a lot of different functions, and we all really are a piece to the puzzle that's needed to support this incident.
Now, for the folks that are there helping, talk about the impact of the air quality that they're breathing, on them. I know that air quality is reduced in that area, and that's kind of be kind of tough, especially to keep working in it.
It does depend on the day and where the winds are blowing. And I know everyone in our communities know that because they experience that depending on where the wind's blowing. But once you do get closer to the fire, you know, there just naturally is more smoke. And so we're being aware of that, trying to stay out of it as much as possible. If people need N95 masks, they are on hand, doing what we can to help our folks be as prepared as possible to work in these conditions. But, you know, on another level, they're used to this because this is their job. And so a lot of those folks come prepared with the things that they need as well.
All right. Natalie Weber from the Oregon Department of Forestry. Anything else people ought to know about?
We just really appreciate the community's support and hosting us. We know that, no one really wants to see us come to town, but we're here to support you in any way that we can, and we want to keep giving you that information. You're so much more than welcome to follow us on our Facebook page, which is the Flat Fire Southern Oregon 2023, for daily updates throughout the day. And if you have questions, please let us know. We want to address those.
All right, Natalie Weber, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
8:39 at the morning report.